God.
Okay, here's take two. It's episode 33, I'm pretty sure. Right? I think so.
God, fuck. No, this is 34, right?
No.
It's definitely 34.
Definitely 33, Jack. Well,
was the last one 32?
I failed to record the last probably 20 minutes, unfortunately, where we talked about plenty of good stuff. Damn, man.
Well, back to the grindstone, I guess.
Classic. Classic.
God.
That's episode 33, June 9th. It's about 9:30. Let's start again. Joshua, why don't you reintroduce yourself, because I'm such a fuck-up. I can't even handle pressing record.
All right. Hey, my name's Joshua. I go by many different last names because I can't decide on what to call myself. Most recently, though, I've been Joshua Tree National Park on TikTok, where I have 67,100 followers. So.
This is how you know I'm really drunk, is because I can't even handle fucking starting the episode.
Don't you have work?
No, not today. Today I have off. Normally, for anyone who's wondering,
if I knew you guys were going to be drunk, I would have pre-gamed.
You should have. It's sad number hours around here nowadays. on all three of our parts, I believe. I'm surprised Billy isn't drunk, to be completely honest.
Hey, man. Yesterday was a good break. I think it was 20-something days in a row, and I was like, yesterday was a break, so, yeah. I'm not an alcoholic, Joshua. I'm not an alcoholic, as far as you know.
Bro, I believe you. No, I believe you, bro. I never thought you were one to begin with, to be honest.
I texted the group. Well, Billy, wait, let me tell you something funny. I was talking to my dad about girl advice, and he was like, oh, why don't you ask your buddies? I bet your buddies have been through similar circumstances, and they can tell you what to do. And I was like, the only guy I know who's been through any similar circumstances is an alcoholic right now, and I was thinking of you. So,
God damn it. So, tell that to your dad?
Yeah, oh yeah, I told him.
And what did he say to that?
He just laughed. He don't care, but he just laughed.
Bro, you gotta show your dad the podcast. Does he watch it?
My dad has heard the clip where Dan called us Howard Stern types. I was
okay,
pretty
well,
my dad is a big Howard Stern fan, so I was happy to prove to him that people think I'm like Howard Stern, which is pretty cool. I don't think Dan's right at all. I think Dan's wrong.
That was the most generous compliment.
Yeah,
could
Dan
ever
is just
give
such
a
oh sweetheart my, that he called
he's
us
such
Howard
a
Stern.
Sweetheart. I thought that was so funny. Oh my god!
Yeah, it made our ad a lot better when we get Dan calling us Howard Stern type for sure. Okay, long story short, over the last 20 minutes of me not recording when I thought I was, Joshua told us that. He grew slowly, right? Which is what we all kind of do, I would say. We all start slow, and we grow. We've learned that a lot with this podcast. Not that we expected to be big, but it's a lot slower than I guess I would have expected.
It's a slow grind, yeah.
Now, I was recently listening to one of my favorite podcasts, the Super Mega Cast. Highly suggest listening to them and watching Super Mega on YouTube. They talk about how they never think that they'll kind of have that blow-up section. You know, a lot of YouTubers and content creators in general go from nobody to millions of subscribers overnight. And that's not necessarily a healthy thing to do, because it means that your growth won't last. Slow but consistent growth is a lot better than one consistent burst. But the problem is, yeah, as a content creator, and I'm sure you can attribute to this, Joshua, it's very hard to watch slow growth, because you want a lot of growth quickly, but in reality, the best thing to happen is slow, consistent growth, where you get bigger each week or each month or whatever, and you slowly grow people who like you and not just the things that you're talking about that week. Because a lot of YouTubers, they'll make a fucking Fortnite video and they'll blow up, but people don't like them. They just like that one Fortnite video, and so then they'll lose all those subs eventually. So I think a good thing about slow and consistent growth is the only people who are growing with you are people who like your personality.
Yeah. I think Yeah, it's so hard to continue growing after like blowing up overnight. Like, I think unfortunately a really good example of someone who did that well are like the fucking Paul brothers, because literally they went from like nothing to being like, by internet terms, like a household name by in like over the course of like 6 months.
And they've stayed that way is the important part.
Yeah, they've stayed that way the whole time.
Well, what I'll say is the two important things that the Paul brothers have done is Logan specifically has matured a lot and gone from this goofy internet personality who doesn't know how to properly run the internet to a more mature, like, if you listen to his podcast now, it's a lot more palatable to the common man. It's a lot more enjoyable. Whereas Jake Paul has decided to go the route of absurdity. I'll just do the most absurd thing possible, and it will get clicks. Both systems work. They have different ways of working, but both maturing in your content or just being as absurd as possible, both have they're very decent ways of growing.
Yeah, I think they're both fucking geniuses.
Oh, honestly. I agree.
Like, as much as everyone hates them, like, there's no such thing as bad fucking publicity. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, no matter how much people hate them, that's just more clicks, more views they get, more fucking pay-per-views they get when they fight. Yeah, the fucking, did you guys watch the Logan Paul fight?
Yeah, I did. It was 8 rounds of hugging.
That really just fucking showed everyone that it's just about money.
At least Mayweather made over $100 million that night.
Yeah. I think Logan made like 20.
Mayweather got 50% of the pay-per-view plus 10 mil, and Logan got 250K plus 10% of the pay-per-view. So some guy on TikTok did the math.
He still made 20 mil.
Yeah, some guy on TikTok did the math where if they got the average amount of views that Mayweather fights get, Mayweather would have got 100 mil just from his 50%. So he would have got 110 mil total, probably even more than that in reality, but... Yeah, they did pretty fucking well for hugging for 8 rounds in an undecided win.
It was crazy.
Okay, Josh.
For that, I'll go hug Logan Paul.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I will say it's hard to decide on whether Logan is impressive or not, because on one hand, you have one of arguably the greatest boxers of all time, 50-0. But on the other hand, if you watch the fight, you can clearly tell that Floyd Mayweather was not trying.
Logan cannot.
There's a clip going around TikTok. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
He knocked him out and held him up.
At least that's what's alleged. So
There's a few rumors
going around that there was some backdoor contract that states that neither was allowed to knock out the other to help both of their careers. Because for Logan, it's a win. And at the same time, for Mayweather, he got a shit ton of money. But for Logan, and now it looks like he's a real boxer because he, quote unquote, lasted 8 rounds with the best boxer ever. But if you really look at it, it's pretty obvious that Mayweather isn't trying. Now, what that leads me to think of is, Joshua, do you try to grow your page, or do you just keep making the content you make and hope, or not necessarily hope, but just imagine, this is the content I like making, if people enjoy it, then more people will come? Or do you actually make a conscious effort to grow your page?
Oh, that's the thing. If I really cared about how many followers I had and what kind of content they want to see, I wouldn't be making content right now, because I would have stopped probably after 4 or 5 months of being under 100 followers. Like I said in the clip that we didn't get because you didn't record, I didn't get 100 followers until 7 months on TikTok.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if that was all that mattered, I wouldn't be here right now. That being said, as I start to grow and I start to make content that people like, I feel compelled to make more of the content that people want to watch.
So, for example, we were talking about how you get tagged in cute videos of couples and then you make a sad edit of it. Is that and you even, in fact, made a video about how you want people to stop tagging you in that. Is that an example of a video that you might make that you're not necessarily interested in making over and over again because it's the same joke, that you just keep making because you know your followers enjoy it?
No, I actually think that those videos are fucking hilarious, and I would make a million of those. I'm actually trying to hold back because I feel like I can't just make one of those every day, because then it'd get old. But like I was saying before to you guys about the...
I promise you could make one every day.
Like I was saying about like the videos that I was doing about the different kinds of phobias, that was something that after like the third one that I did, I was like, okay, I'm kind of bored of this. This isn't really something I'm into, especially because a lot of the suggestions I was getting were stuff that I didn't really resonate with. Like, I'd look up what the phobia was, and I was like, okay, I don't know. I don't really experience this. I don't know anybody else who experiences this. I don't have a good way to relate this to you guys. But I would do it anyway, and then it wouldn't do very well. But then I'd get more suggestions on that video that I could make a better video from. So that was something where I was kind of working for the people and not for myself. But I realized that I don't want to do that. It's hard because I don't... Since I started TikTok, and even now, I still maintain the fact that I make content that I want to see and that I want to exist and that I enjoy making and enjoy watching. That being said, I am an attention whore, which you wouldn't get in person because I'm very introverted and I hate being around other people. But online, I love attention. And I love people
who doesn't, honestly?
Watching me and interacting with me.
We all love it.
And so as much as I just want to make the content that I want to make, the more that people engage with me and like certain content, the more I'm going to convince myself that's the content that I want to make.
So are there any other platforms other than TikTok that you've blown up on? Because I only really know you from TikTok and all the content that you make on there.
Yeah, I have not blown up anywhere else. I tried to do a couple things on Instagram that got absolutely nowhere. I have a YouTube channel, mostly where I post music. I had been posting my short films from college that I was making, but most of those are garbage, so I privated them all, and now it's just music.
Yeah, me and Billy are in the same boat. We made a bunch in high school. We posted them at first, but then we private them as we got older.
I made some in college, but they were for classes and shit. If you don't mind me asking, what college do you go to?
I graduated already, but I went to John Paul the Great Catholic University in Escondido, California.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, so you had some money. That's what I'm hearing.
It's not a like top tier school. No.
I just think California, I think a lot of money is being put into college.
Yeah. No, I mean it's Escondido, which is like the poor man's San Diego, so.
Yeah, that's fair. No rich man myself, taking out plenty of student loans.
Yeah, yeah, you're all fools. College is for losers.
Yeah.
I'm the odd man out of I like working night shift, thank you very much, douchebag. I'm the odd man out of the group who didn't go to college because I like my life. Actually, I don't, but I like my life more than going to college, that's for sure.
The funny thing is, I mean, like, I'm not using my degree right now. I work at Target.
What is your degree, by the way?
It's communications media with an emphasis in screenwriting. But I studied a lot of sound recording and sound designing as well. Anyway, I'm not using that degree at the moment. And I probably could have learned all of the skills that I learned at college just through, like, YouTube videos and, like, web stuff. And so it's not... Like, most people in the film industry
I'm very right.
Like, most people in the film industry would tell you, film school is not very relevant. Nobody really cares if you have a degree. Not that I want to go into the film industry. I hate Hollywood so much.
This is not what I want to hear.
Something else.
Yeah. Only way I would go to college is film school.
I'm a cinema major.
That's not what I want to hear.
This is not what I wanted to hear.
My point was, it's not going to make anything any better, but my point was that I improved socially and as a person in college because I was homeschooled all the way up through high school. And I was just very socially awkward and weird and didn't understand people and how people interact. And it was really bad. But I met some of my closest friends in college and I learned how to interact in the real world, so to speak. And I made a lot of really great connections, especially with some of the professors there who do work in Hollywood. Not that I know if I'm going to use those connections. Like I said, I don't want to go to Hollywood.
All I'm hearing is Billy should move home with me and we should start making movies again.
You're out of your mind.
I think Billy, just move home, work at the same job you're working at, and we can make movies every weekend. Just like the good old days.
I think what I'm learning about college is that it's more, you're paying for more of an experience than actually getting a job out of it.
Even
like
as someone who hasn't been in college, that's what I've learned about it, is a lot of people pay to be able to go to parties and meet girls, etc.
And just meet friends in general. So I think like friends, sort of like, I think it's, I mean, yeah, you're like, oh, I paid X amount for a degree, but you also paid for that experience that you probably couldn't. I mean, you could show up at parties like you do, Nick, but
yeah, I show up at parties.
There's a certain degree that you're paying for, and you can respect that you're getting out of it. I know that I spent a little bit too much time partying this semester than, you know.
It's never too much partying.
I should have this semester, but I spent a little bit too much time studying the previous semester, so it evens out.
Yeah.
That's how I'm seeing it right now. Perfectly balanced.
Perfectly balanced. Exactly.
Yeah.
Want to hear about my partying experience in college?
I'd love to.
Go for it, please.
The first time, the last quarter of my senior year.
That was the first time.
I didn't drink at all the whole time I was in college. I wasn't 21 yet, so it was illegal. So I didn't do it.
Holy shit.
I nonstop.
So that's how much I partied.
I nonstop get told that people think I'm 25 even though I'm 18. I mean, I just started a new job and people like almost don't believe it when I say I'm 18. It's quite ridiculous.
Yeah, as far as everybody else knows, I'm 21, so I can legally drink at this point.
Yeah,
as far as
everybody else.
Yeah, that's why I'm an alcoholic.
I had my time of being an alcoholic. I've grown past that, but over the past few weeks, I've had my nights, you know, as we all do. So, interesting.
Here's the real question: is being an alcoholic bad? Like I just gotta.
The question, the question specifically is being like a young man who's an alcoholic bad. When you're like a 40-year-old guy with kids and stuff, it's very objectively bad. But being like an 18-year-old who has almost no responsibilities, who lives at college for the most part, except for a few months out of the year, is it bad to be an alcoholic? I can't answer.
Here's the thing. People are either going to smoke or they're going to drink. I feel like you're going to abuse a substance.
Exactly. It's picking like,
pick
which substance.
Pick your poison. Pick your poison.
It's
like
only alcoholism if it's after college.
That's quote of the century
By that, by those standards, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm still in college.
Exactly.
Okay, I got a question.
Like at this age... Well, I feel like at this age, it's more acceptable to smoke every day. I mean, kids do it all the time. They don't get criticized. You're like, oh, whatever. You're driving high. What the fuck ever, bro, right? You're drinking and driving? Oh, that's a taboo right there. Don't do that.
But then there's also the argument that weed is less damaging to you than alcohol.
Well, it definitely is. It definitely is.
Yeah, 100%. I have a shoddy liver because of how much I drank in 10th grade. And also because I'm fat and I eat too much sugary food. Okay, I had a question that I want to ask all of you, but I wanted to ask it specifically on this episode while Joshua was here. If you had to introduce humanity to an alien with one piece of media, movie, TV show, music, a book, whatever, what would it be and why? Whoever wants to go first, go for it.
I do.
Peace Army Man.
Joshua, go ahead. Go ahead. What did you say?
Swiss Army Man.
Like a toy?
No, it's a movie.
No,
with the guy from Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's from Daniel Radcliffe. He plays a dead body.
Yeah.
What?
And then it's also a pretty good movie. Paul Dano. It's a great movie. It's probably my favorite movie.
Why would you pick that movie specifically?
I picked that movie specifically I'm probably biased because it just fits my worldview perfectly, but I feel like it's a really good example of what humanity is. That's what the entire movie is about, because Paul Dano's character in the beginning is about to kill himself because he's stranded on an island and he's lost all hope mm-hmm. of being happy.
Yeah.
And then he's rescued by a dead body that helps him get back to shore. And he spends the rest of the movie teaching this dead body about what humanity is. And through teaching the corpse about humanity, he learns to re-love everything about the world.
My big problem is, do you ever think that that would lead an alien species to misunderstand how we not only treat dead people, but how we think of death? Because as a society in a whole, we think of death as extremely, I personally don't think this, but we think of death as an extremely negative thing, and we think of it as the end-all be-all, and that we should try our best to avoid it. So I'm just worried that that particular movie would give a positive view on death that necessarily the rest of society doesn't believe.
Yeah, okay, I see that.
For example, I would pick, and it might be a little cliche, is Good Will Hunting. I think it's a perfect example of a broken person who learns to be able to live with themselves and be able to have a relationship with another human being. And it teaches us a lot about dynamics between humans. We see the dynamic between Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. We see the dynamic between Matt Damon and I forget the chick's name, whatever the chick is. We see the dynamic between him and his therapist, who is played by Robin Williams. I think Good Will Hunting is a very good showing of not only humanity, but how humanity becomes broken and we attempt to fix it, even though it's almost impossible.
You know, I think for me, the answer is pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious. Lady Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. listen, a famous quote by Pete Davidson. All life is dicks and scribbles.
Dicks and scribbles, yes. Dicks that was a very good movie. I will say, Big Time Adolescence is a very good movie. That might be a good choice, too.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if you guys have seen Big Time Adolescence, but I'm not really a big Pete Davidson fan, but Big Time Adolescence was a very good movie. And I found it very, I don't want to say accurate, because it is like a movie, as you'd expect, that's a little out of this world. But it's very accurate to the young person experience. And I think people, especially women, underrate the difficulty of becoming a young man to a grown man, and the difficulty that that causes, and how complicated it becomes to become a grown man. Because when men intrinsically don't have value, their value comes from their personality, their wealth, their materialistic things, etc., their looks, etc. Whereas women and children are and pets are intrinsically valued just for being existent. So the transition from becoming a child as a man, or as a boy, I should say, to a man is very complicated. And you go from having value just for living to needing value by the things that you own, the things that you do, and the things that you have. And so I think Big Time Adolescence does a very good job in describing that.
Right, good movie, good quote.
Very good
Still
movie.
Going Lady Humps, because the reason I was thinking about it was not about that, but it was about, listen, everybody's horny. That's like an undisputable fact. I feel like 90% of the things that go on, especially in college, right? Because dudes were horny.
Dudes are fucking horny, man.
Dudes are fucking horny, man. I don't know what to say. Think
That's
about
why
it.
Women always win breakups.
Mm-hmm. Dudes are just too horny. The biggest problem, they don't know how to hide it. Most guys don't know how to hide it. Yeah. You can be horny all the fuck you want, but they just don't have that just maybe I should chill out. Like, maybe I should not be as horny as I am right now. Maybe I shouldn't send this "you up" text right now. But no, they just do it. And humanity as a whole is fucking horny, bro. Everybody wants, biologically, they want to fuck. They want to procreate. They want to make babies and shit. That's what I'm showing. Lady Humps. My humps. My lovely lady humps.
This might be controversial, but by like a sort of objective stance, I would say any Disney movie would be a good candidate.
What?
Because I'll
what?
Explain. I'll Yo, explain.
What?
I'll explain.
Yeah, you need an explanation after that.
Any Disney movie.
All right. So Disney movies, they cover all of the basics that an alien civilization would need to know about humanity. Because
what do you mean they could? They're like completely
animated,
cartoonish.
Like animated
yeah.
Disney movies.
Yeah, it demonstrates our technology. It demonstrates human relationships. Demonstrates emotion. It demonstrates there's always a love.
What
interest.
Are you talking about? It's completely cartoonish versions of how humans really act.
I think as an alien watching in, they're not going to understand what that means.
Yeah, exactly. They're not like they're not going to understand that this is a hyperbole of how humans are. Imagine, Chuck, imagine you've never watched any princess movie in your life and you're watching Beauty and the Beast where the guy has to kiss her to wake her up. You're not going to understand that that's really about how love helps you so much in life. You're never going to understand that. You're just going to think that humans think that fucking male and female contact is the only reason to be alive, which
they're
technically
gonna watch,
is true.
They're gonna watch
it's not
Sleeping
what the
Beauty
about.
And think that they're gonna watch Sleeping Beauty and think that she's getting banged by seven dwarves. What?
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I have to disagree with you there, Jock.
Ah, big disagree.
You're gonna have to come up with a good defense for that one.
Yeah, I don't really have one. I don't know. I was just thinking about it. I was like,
I get what you were saying. I think. Maybe the problem is it's that they're too metaphorical.
Yeah.
Whereas, yes. Like,
that's
Will
exactly
Hunting
the
is
problem.
Very literal. So it's just I suppose we're operating under the assumption that aliens don't understand anything about humanity.
Well,
so they couldn't understand
yeah, that's what
a
I'm
representation.
Saying.
I don't know.
We
I mean,
need to give them a representation as if their society is completely different from humanity. We don't know if they even have love in their society. We have to pretend like this is a completely different being that has never understood any of the human emotions. So that's why I'm saying that it's a little too complex and nuanced for them to understand Disney movies. A lot of, in fact, yeah. Even Disney movies nowadays are being ridiculed for how misogynist or whatever they are by the feminist movement because they are so, not simple, but metaphorical in a sense that almost doesn't make sense.
All right. Well.
What? Yeah. What's your second guess? What about that?
Yeah.
Jack?
Give us another one. Like at least.
I don't have a second fucking guess.
You know, I've got a second option. I came up with it while you guys were talking. Monsters versus aliens.
Interesting.
Just in case they get any ideas.
Show them who's boss.
That's a very interesting choice because it's been a while since I've watched that. But hasn't at the end, don't they eventually decide that aliens aren't that bad?
Oh, man, do they? I don't remember.
I honestly can't remember, but I imagine that. I think that's the epiphany that they make.
All
that
I remember
the aliens
really
aren't
that
different from them.
I just remember when, like, the president who's played by, like, I don't know, Jimmy Kimmel or something. No, who is it? No,
I don't know. I could die.
Some late night host. I don't remember. He just goes up like this big old comical staircase to the aliens and he starts playing this epic synth solo. That's all I remember from the movie.
Yeah, I can't remember. Not only am I hammered, but that's been so long since I've watched that movie.
You know, Stephen Colbert, I think that's who it was. Okay.
Maybe.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, here I got another one for you guys to shoot on. If you find a bag with a briefcase with $100,000 on it, say it's under the bench that you happen to be sitting on that day, are you taking it? Now, I would originally say that yeah, I would take it. $100K would change my life. I'd be a completely different person. It would help so many issues I have. But now that I've thought about it and I've heard some other people's opinions on it, I'm starting to think if there's $100K in a briefcase under my bench, maybe it's for a ransom or something. So I don't know if I could take it. In good faith. So what would you do if you found a briefcase, you were positive it was $100K, non-counterfeit, it was pure American dollars, what are you doing with that money? Are you reporting it to the police? Are you leaving it there? Are you taking it? What are you doing?
My answer I'm completely ignoring it because I've seen the movie No Country for Old Men. And I know that if I take it, then I'm subjected to being hunted down by someone. So I'm not going to take it in that case.
I have not seen No Country for Old Men, but I had the exact same thought. So,
yeah.
Okay, I'm very interested in what Billy thinks.
Somebody wants that money.
I was not paying enough attention, my bad.
Billy, what are you doing if you find a briefcase with 100K under the bench you sit on? And you're positive that it's non-counterfeit. It's pure American USD.
Taking that bitch home!
That's what
the
I
fuck?
Figured. That's what I figured
that
Billy would say.
Bro. I'm buying some, I'm going to get myself like a 12 pack or something. First, I'm getting a 12 pack. That's like my first order of business. Second order of business, I'm definitely gonna buy myself a car, okay?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is I don't wanna take it, but I think I would because I really could use a new car at the moment.
I want to take it. Don't get me wrong. Like, that sounds great.
I don't know. The rest of us, our problem is we think it's there for ransom money of some sort, so we don't want to interfere with that.
That's not my problem, is it? They left 100,000.
All right, but you're still subjected to being hunted down by someone who wants money.
How would they hunt you down, Jock? How are they tracking you?
Unless they got, like, people watching that.
Bro, if you got an Anton Chigurh character on your ass, you're fucked. Like,
I'm dumping the money into like a different bag and then throwing the briefcase out.
You're gonna get a fucking hole blasted in your brain by a compression gun.
Well, to be fair, I think me and Billy think that is a win-win.
That's
you either die or you get 100K. So that sounds like a win-win in my opinion.
I guess you could just go on a spending spree until someone tracks you down.
I die a painless death, or I get 100,000, so 100 million. I don't know. Either one. Pretty nice.
I don't know. Wait, honestly,
I die or I get $100 either way.
Honestly, now that I think about it, No Country for Old Men would be a good piece of media to show aliens, I feel like. Because that really demonstrates the human fucking just like attitude, I guess, towards everything. Because it really just shows that like bad things happen to good people and there's nothing that just nothing prevents
you can do
that.
About it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing. Sometimes you just get fucked over, and that's just how it is. And I feel like that's a really good condition that aliens should understand about our race. That
it's almost like the opposite of Django Unchained, where he breaks out from being a slave and actually gets revenge. That would probably be the worst movie to show to them because that very rarely happens in life.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a better thing to show that. It's not always a happy ending because that's just the human conditions.
I think life usually is a happy ending. The question is, are you willing to wait genuine years to get to that happy ending? And I think that's something you maybe not touch on specifically, Joshua, but that's something that you talk about a lot philosophically, is that sometimes to get the happy ending, you really have to be in it for the long haul. And when I say long haul, I really mean long haul. Right, Joshua? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would say if I was to give my little one-sentence synopsis on this, would be that I don't think there is really an ending at all. Like, obviously, people die. And then their story, so to speak, is over. But I wouldn't really call it an ending. It's just another event that happens. And so there's really no way to quantify whether it was a happy ending or a sad ending. It was just another event,
Okay, so here's a good question for you, Joshua. You clearly, even if you aren't Catholic today, you clearly had some sort of Catholic upbringing, especially since you went to a Catholic college. What is your belief on God and religion in general to this day? A loaded question for sure.
God damn.
Well, to start off, I would say I am still practicing Catholic. So for the most part, I would say just anything the Catholic Church teaches, I believe. There's a lot of stuff, though, that I feel like people get confused about because it's just, like, stuff that specific Catholic officials will, like, recommend or the specific teachings that some people will say, and it's not, like, the actual Catholic Church as an entity teaching that. So it's difficult to just say, yeah, whatever the Catholic Church says, that's what I believe, and then everybody's going to – every single person I tell that to is going to have a different idea of what I think.
Yeah, especially since they haven't had the best track run.
I think most of us agree, or the three of us, I should say, agree with the fact that we have, while I think all three of us, I don't think we all grew up in different branches. I specifically grew up Catholic. I think, I want to say you two grew up Lutheran, right?
I did, yeah.
I think Billy. Oh, Billy was Presbyterian. Well, I think regardless, all three of us, while I wouldn't say we're atheist, I'd say we're a little more agnostic, and that while we have separated ourselves from the church, specifically myself, but I believe these two as well, I've separated myself from the church. Right. I was an altar boy and everything. I did the whole nine yards. But we did all that, and we decided that the church itself is a corrupt organization. And I'm not saying you're wrong. This is just my opinion. But I think that I believe the church itself is a corrupt organization. And if there is a God of some sorts, which I do believe there is some sort of higher power, I prefer to talk to him in private, on my own terms, rather than believe the word of man that is spit throughout all of Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So I personally have distanced, and I believe these two as well, have distanced ourselves from the church as an entity. And I understand what you're saying, whereas each church is different and they all get kind of clumped together. But as an entity, I've distanced myself from the church. And I believe that there is some sort of higher power, but the church as an entity and even the Bible as a word of scripture is hypocritical and almost silly at sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, like, I don't want to, like, sound like I'm just shitting on Christians, because, like, that's really not what I'm trying to do. But, like, the biggest problem for me is that throughout history, like, religion has been used to explain things that we can't explain from, like, just, like, a general, just, like, insight of point of view. So pretty much for that reason has been, like, my main deterrent from religion. Because it's just, like, it's been used to explain things we can't explain, but now that we've advanced more, we've been able to come to different conclusions for those things.
I just, like, find that the church contradicts the Bible, and the Bible contradicts the church, and we're supposed to believe each of them are not only true, but equal. So I just don't understand how it can work. So I prefer to pray to God himself and speak to him in a more personal sense than to go through all these avenues of... Because if God is really real, I imagine he will understand my opinion and he wouldn't send me to hell just because I don't go to church every Sunday. Because if he really did, then I'm not interested in being in heaven with him all for all of eternity. Because then it's just kind of a cocksucker. In my opinion. So you say you're still part of the church, but are you, like, do you go every Sunday kind of thing? Or do you just still follow their teachings?
No, I go to church every Sunday.
I understand.
Interesting.
Interesting, yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. I wouldn't expect that from you, to be completely honest.
I hear that a lot.
No, that's good. It's definitely good that you have some sort of higher belief that overtakes all of your other emotions, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's something that kind of bothers me about a lot of Christians, especially just, like, right now, and the people who surround me, is just that they tend to use religion to explain everything. This is, like, everything that happens.
Yes.
God is directly involved in everything. I feel like that defeats the point of even making the world if you're just going to control everything.
Exactly. I've always believed that God created all the systems that make the world run. He doesn't necessarily have a part in every single part. He just created the systems that make the world run. He doesn't literally make the world go. He doesn't turn the world as it speaks. He set it up so that it can be self-sustaining.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't, the other guy's name is Jake, right? Or
yes.
Yeah.
We call him Jock, yeah, Jake. But his name is Jake.
So what he was saying, I feel like I agree. It's like there's a lot of stuff that the church has explained in the past as being like divine intervention, you know, like creation, God just kind of like poof, the earth exists now. But then now we understand like the age of the earth and how it was like billions of years in the making and stuff like that. I do feel like God kind of started that, but he created it in a way that everything could happen naturally. He created things with an order. And so it's like all these things that we used religion to like to say, oh, it was God, because we don't know what happened. It's like, well, it was God, but he did it in a way that that's just how the world works. He created the world in a way that it evolved, it works. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I understand because I always believed, even when I was a wholehearted Catholic, I should say, is that evolution was true. It just wasn't true to the point that monkeys turned into humans. But I always believed that God created evolution so that he could have a working ecosystem. And so he created all of these systems so that Earth could work on its own without his necessary help. But at the same time, he's still the one who put it all together. It's just when I start to get to the word of man in the Bible and in church that I start to dispute it a little bit, because it's hard to believe some guy. I mean, there are literally thousands to millions of priests. It's very hard to believe that every single one of them has an interpersonal relationship with God. Because it's not just like the rest of us where they pray to God and God rarely says things back. They speak directly with God, and that's why they're able to give the Eucharist and the blood and things like that. I find that very hard to believe. I used to want to be a priest when I was a kid, but I told a story last episode. I ended up getting a car by the fact that I decided not to be a priest.
It's such a hard conversation.
It is, indeed. It's a very complex conversation.
So many variables.
It's one that I hate having. I feel horrible about it, but I feel like I'm convicted perfectly for myself. And it's like, as long as I just need to convince myself, that's fine. And as soon as I try to like talk about it with other people, it's like, it's not like I start to see flaws in my own logic. It's just that I don't know.
I will say you're interesting. I'm not saying you have a bad relationship with your family, but the few people that I know that lasted through Catholicism specifically are people who had strong family ties. Because, for example, a friend of the podcast, Owen, is very Catholic to this day because his family is very traditional in a sense. And so he has his family to lean on. He has family values. He believes in blood is thicker than water. I never really bought into all that shit. In fact, even though me and my father had a strained relationship, my father didn't even buy into the shit that blood is thicker than water. He was always about each person can be toxic, whether they're related to you or not. So I think a core, strong family relationship usually leads to being an easier Catholic, because it's easier to believe when you have a safety net like that. So it's very interesting that, again, I don't want to say that you don't have a strong relationship with your family, but you, from what I've perceived at least, you seem very alone and on your own, and yet you still believe in God in the most Catholic sense, where you still go to church and such. And so I'd like to commend you for that, because a lot of people could not handle that, including myself and I believe my two co-hosts.
Yeah, definitely not. I can't imagine still going to church. Being a Presbyterian was different. It was like very informal compared to Catholic Church. Very informal.
Lutheran the same way.
I just didn't like that informality. I would rather them preach. Like, going to Catholic Church was like with my grandma. my second mother grandma. It was fun because I actually learned the lesson at the end of the day, but it felt like you were like the you were having a conversation in Presbyterian churches, and I didn't like that.
Well, that, I didn't want to hear that. Funny enough, this is one of my biggest beliefs, is that no matter what you're doing, humans will always believe grass is always greener. I always, because I grew up in the Catholic Church until I was about eight, until I grew up and I turned 18 and moved out, is that I really hated the fact that we were so formal and that it wasn't a conversation. Although I will say in CCD and like and Saturday or Sunday school or whatever, it was very informal and we could question beliefs. But in general, I never really liked how church was so formal and you had to be wearing a fancy outfit and everything. And it wasn't just about being your beliefs. It was about it was almost like going to a wedding each Sunday. I never really liked that. So I think it's interesting that you guys find it, at least you, Billy and Jock, you guys find it that you liked that it was formal. So I find that very interesting. And that kind of feeds into more of my philosophy that the grass is always greener no matter what's going on.
I like the formality because, I mean, in Sunday school, it was actually more formal. It was like, here's a lesson. Here's what God did. Here's what the disciples did. That's it. No questions. I hated that part.
I can agree. We always were allowed to question beliefs in CCD class, which I enjoyed. But when it came to church itself, it was very much so, this is the way it is. There's no dialogue. It is the priest preaching to you. There is no back and forth.
I think that the time, in my opinion, the time to question is in Sunday school or in CCD, whatever. I think that's the time to question and bring up, like, your problems or, I don't know, whatever you're thinking. And I wish that was more like in Presbyterian system, but instead it's kind of flip-flop. So it's informal during whatever, and it's formal during Sunday school. I wish I had the opposite way, so.
I don't know. I respect my pastor at my church that I go to so much because, his focus is less on just like saying like this is the absolute word and more about just like the knowledge and wisdom that comes with studying those texts. Because like no matter how you look at it, like there's like religion is based around having a set of morals and like a set of just like things you live by that overall make your life better, overall are meant to promote health and just like a good life. So
I will say I was pretty fortunate and I had a pretty good priest where even though I started as I grew up, I became more and more agnostic. I think I've talked about it a few times on the podcast. I worked as a janitor at my church and me and my priest were very close and not in a bad way. And so I could rely on my priest to be a mentor and to give me advice. And so I trust my priest as a person, but when it comes and as a preacher, I would say, but when it comes to pure religion, it's just very hard to listen to him say one thing and then read the Bible and it be contradicted. And I don't know. It's just very complex is the issue. And I wish it were simpler, as I wish most things were. I just wish it were a little bit simpler and it was a little more easier. But like I said, probably about 20 minutes ago, if God is real, I would think that he would forgive me and understand my position and still allow me in heaven. And if he didn't, then I don't think I'm interested in being in heaven with him if he couldn't understand where I'm coming from.
Here's the question. Why is anxiety a thing? Like, I know you said that, like, he's not, like, a force acting on the world. He just created it so it can be on his own. But, like, taking it from the other standpoint, what the fuck is the purpose of anxiety?
I genuinely think that anxiety is a lack of practicing in social interactions. And so you get to a point, and our generation specifically, including Joshua, even though he's a little older than us, our generation specifically has been overdiagnosed with all these things. And when you get diagnosed with anxiety, instead of saying, I have to fight this and I have to work productively to work against anxiety, a lot of people are willing to say, that's just the way I am. So I'm more of an inside person. I shouldn't go out to parties or things. I completely disagree with that. I think people who are anxious, now there are certain people who are just too far gone. That's just a fact of life. But there are certain people who are anxious where if you just went out and you were willing to order your meal or you were willing to try to talk to new people, yeah, you're going to get burned sometimes, but we all get burned. It's just a learning process on how to be social. All that anxiety means is you never got that learning process on how to be social when you were younger. So you have to learn it a little later in life, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think people in our society of overdiagnosing have taken that and said, ah, I'm anxious. The doctor said so. So I should just sit inside because that's just who I am. I don't agree with that. I think that you should try your best to go out and be someone better and try better and go out and be social. And you are going to get burned, but you're not the only one who gets burned. I'm a very social person. I get burned all the time. The difference is I can shake it off because I've met a million people and I can meet a million more. So I'm okay with being burned one time.
So see, you say that from a point where, like, you don't have anxiety about, like, going out and talking to people. Not that I have anxiety about that, yeah. But, like, it's hard to say that when you don't feel what they're feeling.
The only reason I believe that is because of my ex-girlfriend and the progress that she made over our relationship when I forced her to put herself in uncomfortable situations. Like I said at the when we weren't recording to Joshua, my girlfriend originally, and I think I've said it last episode to Dan, my ex-girlfriend originally wasn't able to order her meals when we went to somewhere as simple as the diner, not even a fancy restaurant. And nowadays, she could call the waiter over and ask for a favor. So I think people just take, oh, I'm anxious, and they just accept that. And they just say, well, I'm an anxious person, so I should just try. Instead of pushing myself to be better than that, I should just limit myself as much as possible and make myself as safe as possible. You have to go outside your comfort zone. And it's hard. It's a very hard thing to do. But I was lucky enough to do that at a young age, so it's a lot easier for me. But some people, you really have to do that at an older age, and it's very hard. I understand that. But you have to try your best. And like I said, there are some people who are just too far gone. You're too anxious. You're never going to beat it because mental illness is a very serious thing. But there are certain people, and I would say a majority of people, who are just so anxious. But if they really tried and they really wanted it, they could fight past it. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a fight. But they can get past it, as I've seen with my own ex-girlfriend, who I pushed in that direction.
That's the best solution to overcoming it. Like, I agree with you that that's, like, the way you would overcome social anxiety. You go out and talk to people. You learn to adapt to situations. I'm just not saying it's just not that. You're making it seem like it's easy.
It's not easy. I'm sorry if I'm making it seem that way.
You're making it seem like it's an easy thing. And I just want to say it's not an easy thing.
It's not an easy thing. It's very – I remember when I was a young man and it was very scary to approach new people. But I've been doing it for so long at this point that it's not scary to me. So it's just like anything else. At first, it's going to be the most frightening thing you can ever imagine. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. Just like anything. When you first get a new job, it is like even for me, and I'm a very social person, it is one of the most nerve-wracking things to go in on your first day. You have no idea what to expect. You don't want to go on your phone because you don't want to seem like that guy. But even a week in or 2 weeks in, you start to learn the layout of the place. You start to learn the social hierarchy of the place and how it works socially. You will learn that stuff. You just have to try. I just will never promote people staying inside and staying alone and trying to say, I'm just anxious, that's who I am, so I have to stay inside. You have to go out and try. It's going to be scary. It's going to be difficult, but you have to try.
You're making Jack and Joshua depressed right now. I'm looking at both of them. They're both.
No, you're right, though.
Both looking down. Like,
no, that's for me, that's the biggest thing to overcome is just, like, that initial feeling of just, like,
I will tell you. I don't know. Jock, I'll tell you right now, I'm an extremely social person. In fact, my favorite thing to do on planet Earth is meet new people. But the first time when I see a cute girl or a guy that I think is cool that I want to be friends with, it is terrifying to walk up to them. But when I walk up to them and start the conversation, there is very few times I've ever regretted it, even when it ends up in some sort of rejection. So I will say, even for someone who's extremely social, it is extremely terrifying. But when you finally, it's just like, have you ever gone cliff jumping? When you're looking down, you're looking down and you're like, that is fucking terrifying. I'm jumping 40 feet into the water. How could someone ever do that? And then you jump and you're in the air and you're still scared. You're still like, how could I possibly do this? But then you finally land in the water and you're like, wow, that was an amazing feeling. I enjoyed the jump. And although it was terrifying, once I finally hit the water, I felt this extreme pleasure that you couldn't ever compare to.
Cliff jumping is awesome, though. That's the fucking shit.
That's what I'm saying. Just like I'm saying, I'm a social person and I'm still afraid to talk to people. I love cliff jumping. And when we got to the 80-foot cliff jump, I don't know if you were there, Billy. I don't think you were. When we got to the 80-foot cliff jump at Beacon, I was terrified, man. I had been cliff jumping for almost 2 years at that point, and I was terrified to make that 80-foot jump. And we talked for 10, 15 minutes. But when I finally made the jump, I was in the air and I was terrified. And then I finally hit the water and I was like, that was the fucking coolest thing ever. I think anxiety is very similar to that. It's extremely terrifying. And even when you make the jump, you're still scared. But when you finally hit the water and you finally make a connection with another human being, you are extremely happy that you took the risk, even if it goes badly.
Joshua's brewing up a TikTok post right now.
That would be awesome.
That 80-foot jump, though, that shit was so...
That shit is very scary.
I love being able to... Like that 80-foot gave me enough time to think while I'm in the air. Most jumps, you're like...
No, you're
like a blink and you're in the water.
You blink and you're in the water.
That 80-foot jump, when you can actually have time to be like, oh, shit. I'm still in the air. Like 2 seconds later, I'm like, what is going on?
Exactly. You're only in the air for less than 4 or 5 seconds, and you still have enough time to like relapse your whole life and be like, holy shit, I'm going to die. And then you hit the water and you're like, that was fucking awesome. So yeah, you just have to take the plunge. It's just about having enough balls to take the plunge. And I'll admit, like I said, when I was at the cliff jump, it took me 10, 15 minutes for someone to finally convince me to jump. It was fucking terrifying. But when I finally did it, even though I was scared in the air, when I hit the water, I didn't regret it for a second. It was so enjoyable. And I'll tell you, from experience, I know kids who have slammed their fucking nuts making that jump. They still wouldn't regret it. It was still worth every second of it.
I think that after watching two kids go before me, I think it took me like a minute to jump. Like I watched one kid go, another kid go, then I was like, you know what? We're sending it.
You have a lot of time to think of the air, and that makes it extremely frightening. When you have no time to think in the air, like a 40-foot jump or a 30-foot jump, it's not that big a deal. You jump and you're practically in the water before you blink. But when you have even 3-4 seconds to think about it, it feels like an eternity that you're in the air, and it's extremely terrifying. And like I said, I've had panic attacks and all, but I've never really experienced anxiety. And that's what I imagine anxiety feeling like. It's like you finally take that jump and you're floating in the air and it feels like forever. But you will hit the water eventually and you'll be like, wow, even though that kind of hurt, even though it was a crazy thing to do, it was worth it.
Damn, bro.
Unless you like break a bone or something. Probably not worth that.
Even if you break a bone, dude, that's a cool story you can tell forever.
That's mad insightful, man.
We all know that some of our best stories are from some of our worst experiences. We all know that. The funniest stories are when you hurt yourself or when you embarrass yourself, but it's always a good story to tell. That's all that matters is did you have a good time and did you have a good story to tell?
I'm not going to lie. I've actually considered before how I'm kind of like bummed out that I've never like broken a bone or anything. I've never gone to the hospital for anything.
I used to crack my head open and my parents wouldn't take me to the doctors. They would just tell me to suck it up.
Breaking bones sucks. Like I won't.
I bet it would. I broke my leg one time.
Could not work. Couldn't make money. I was like, this fucking sucks. I had to sit at home. I was like, God. The pain afterwards, even when they put the cast on, I'm like, why? It's just not fun. Do not regret that.
I'm just very boring, and I wish I was more interesting. I don't know.
I don't think that's true, Joshua. I just think you've heard all of your own stories probably a million times because you've told them to your friends, and so you don't know which stories are interesting anymore. I'm sure you're very I know for a fact that all the TikToks I've seen interest me a lot, and it interests me a lot about the way you think and the things that you think. So I'm sure the stories that you have are the same way. I'm sure they're very interesting, but I'm sure you've told your friends or yourself a million times those stories and you've replayed them. And so now they're not interesting to you anymore. It's, again, you haven't gone on a first date before, so you don't know. But when you've been in a relationship and you've gone on a few first dates and you've told those stories before, on your like 10th first date, you're like, I've told the story a million times. It's not interesting. But this is a new person. You got to realize that. This is a new person you're telling that story to. So even though the story's not that great to you anymore, they're hearing it for the first time, and it might blow their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. At the same time, I feel like I didn't really do anything interesting before, like, the age of 18. But I don't know.
So what, man? I'm only 18, but even I know 18 is just the start, dude. 18 is just the fucking beginning. That is the beginning of adulthood, if even.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that I've been doing, like, in the past, not the past year, but the past probably, like, 6 or 7 months, is I've just been trying to try new things. I bleached my hair. I used to be brown hair. I bleached it. I got tattoos for the first time. You can't see because it's a podcast, but I'll show you guys. A bass clef and a treble clef.
Here's a good time to say subscribe to the Salad Tossers on YouTube so you can see what Josh was showing.
Yeah. So I did that. I went skydiving.
Holy shit. Wow.
That's a big dream of mine is to finally go skydiving.
How was
it? Honestly, yeah. From what you were saying about cliff jumping, I feel like you'd love skydiving. It's crazy. The funny thing was, I wasn't really even that scared about it because I was just kind of so sick of myself not doing things that I wanted to do. I was just at work and I was like, I should go skydiving. And then I went home and I booked an appointment to go skydiving the next week. And then, you know, I went. And then we were up in the plane. When it's your first time, they won't like to do it by yourself, obviously. You got to be tied to somebody who's had, like, years of training. So I'm with somebody else, so it's fine. But it's just in the plane, as we're going up there, I just felt perfectly at peace. I was like, look, I'm not going to die. But if I did...
It's okay. Exactly. I understand. I understand that mentality very well.
Plane ride going up before the jump was one of the most serene and peaceful moments of my life. To just say, this is going to be one of the most exciting things I've ever done. And I don't have to worry about anything. It's just, it's going to happen, and then it's going to be over one way or another. So, actual jump, for just a split second right before we go out of the plane, my heart just stops because, you know, when you're actually looking, it's different. But I don't get a chance to hesitate because he just pushes us both out.
Yeah. I heard they go on two because people try to stop them on one.
I don't remember. Wasn't really that memorable of a, but anyway, the funny thing is the number one thing that I noticed on the jump, you don't feel like you're falling or what you imagine falling from a great height is like. The only thing that you feel is wind. You're moving so fast that the only thing you can notice is just how hard the wind is hitting you. I was wearing a collared shirt. I always wear some form of collared shirt, whether it's like a flannel over my t-shirt or something like that. When I got to the ground, I had a bruise on my neck from how hard my collar was flapping in the wind.
Holy shit.
Now, I want to book a flight.
I want to go fucking skydive.
Yeah, let me do that right now.
So yeah, that's like the extreme part. It's just the initial jump, and it's just basically just wind, and you gotta look up, so you're looking like straight ahead as opposed to down. I don't know exactly why that is. Maybe it's because the wind's not on your face.
I think it's because, at least I know from self-defense, whichever way you look is where your body actually goes. So looking up might actually keep your body postured upright. Because I know, like I said, from self-defense, when you look down, your shoulders and stuff actually come down with you. So it might be about posture.
But yeah. So another funny thing I noticed too is since you're looking up, the air is flowing directly into your nose, and it's so hard, it's basically physically impossible to not breathe. You're just being like forced to breathe. I thought it was kind of funny. And then as soon as the parachute, you pull the parachute and then you're just floating there, that just narrowly beats the airplane ride up there. It's the most peaceful moment in my life, just sitting over the world after just the incredibly loud noise of the wind. It's so harsh and extreme, and the moment you pull the parachute, it's gone, and it's just you and the guy on your back, but you can forget about him. So it's just you and the world, and it was so amazing. And another super funny thing is, I don't know if it's for everybody, I tend to generalize things when they're just my own personal experiences, but my brain couldn't comprehend the fact that I was very high up in the air. And so when I'm floating down to the ground and I'm probably like hundreds of feet up, I'd look down and I'd see the ground, and my brain would be like, okay, everything's small now. You're going to hit the ground in like half a second and you're just a giant now, and everything is small. And then we just keep falling, and it's like, we're still in the air. We're still very, very high up, because you're just not used to looking at that, unless maybe like you're in an airplane, in which case you have other visual context, like the window and the wings and the walls of the airplane, to tell you you're not on the ground.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, God, I've always wanted to skydive. It's on my bucket list for sure.
Me too.
Okay.
We should do it for a podcast episode. That's what I'm hearing.
Nope, I already booked it. September 18th at 1:00.
Okay, how much do I owe you, Billy?
It's only for one person.
Oh, lame. What the hell?
I didn't actually do it. I could do three people. Cooperstown, New York. I don't know where the fuck that is, but
I don't know where that is either, but I'm so down.
Up north.
Speaking of, if you guys remember Tim from the meme page that came on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a concert, and I wanted to invite you guys. It's in Rhode Island, so it's a bit of a drive, but but yeah, we should go to it. Shout out to Tim, man. Shout out to what's his page? Fucking Goober. Great meme page. Tim is a very genuine guy. I really like Tim. And Joshua, I really appreciate you you coming on. This is about the time where you get to shout out whatever you want. So shout it out.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, obviously go follow my TikTok, Josh Green National Park. I'm also on Spotify. I have one song on there. I'm working on more. We'll see what happens.
Oh, really? Is it on your playlist? Yeah. I follow your playlist.
No, because my playlist is more kind of like sad vibes.
Yeah, I got you.
This song is more upbeat. So I didn't put it
Joshua
on there.
Is it under Joshua Tree?
Drop a playlist.
No, it's sad vibes. I was going to say. I was going to say my playlist. What's the playlist called?
Joshua Tree Sad Vibes.
Joshua Tree Sad Vibes.
Yeah.
That's my playlist. But my artist name on Spotify is Joshua Tree National Failure. So I would have made that my handle on TikTok, but it didn't fit. There was too many letters, so
Billion
I just stuck with Joshua
Tree
National Park.
I can't wait to listen to that.
Yeah. So yeah, obviously go check that out. I'm also Joshua Tree National Failure on YouTube. And if you follow me on TikTok, I've got like my campsite bio link in my bio, which has all my other links to everything, so obviously you can check that out. But yeah,
I'm one click away from booking three people on September 18th.
Billy, I will pay you back. Do it, dude.
It's a $75 deposit. It's about 200 and something for each person.
Wait. September. Wait, let me think. We're June, right? June. Yeah. So we got 3 more episodes and then 4 more in July. That's 7. And then August is 4 more. That's 11. June 18th would be like, wait, you said June 18th, right?
September
18th. September
18th. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. September 18th. That would be like episode 40 something. Yeah, so it'd still be before the DMT. We could definitely pull. Billy, if you do that, when I get paid next Thursday, I will Venmo you back for it.
Oh my god, this is a big decision right
here. As long as Jock's willing to do it, I've always wanted to skydive. I'm so willing to skydive.
I'm honest, if you're into that kind of thing, you're not going to regret it. For me, the scariest part of the whole experience was just like the amount of documents and like videos and stuff you have to read and watch telling you how dangerous it is, and if you die, they can't be held responsible in any way.
Yeah, if you die, the instructor is also dying, so...
Yeah.
I feel like that, he probably would not want to die. Jesus.
But yeah.
Again, if he does die, it's a win-win. If we all die, it's a win-win, so... All right, well, again, Joshua, thank you for coming on the show. It was quite a pleasure, man. As per usual, I can't believe the guest we get on here sometimes. You guys are just so much bigger than us, and we really appreciate how willing you guys are to come on the show. We
definitely appreciate it.
We always appreciate it. So, Joshua, we hope you have a great night. And everybody listening, we also hope you have a great night and a great week. And go out and skydive. And go out and talk to that waitress that you've been looking at for the last couple weeks, man.
Talk to that Hooters fucking waitress, bro.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know about that. The Hooters girls, a lot of their boyfriends work in the kitchen. So I wouldn't suggest talking to the Hooters girls. But a normal waitress, yeah, man. Go out there and put yourself out there. Go to a party, even if you hate parties. Go to a party and try to walk up to at least 2 people that you've never met in your life and make a connection. I don't care if they're male, female, or somewhere in between. Go out there and make a connection with somebody that you never would have thought you talked to because you're just too nervous. Jock, Billy, Joshua, anything else left?
You know, I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. Go make fun of me on my Twitter. It's literally Billy Zah, S-Z-A. So make fun of me. I'm daring to hear what people have to say about me. I need to be humbled a little bit. Just a little bit. So that's about
Please
it.
Go follow Joshua on TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, all that good stuff like he shouted out. And you can find us on the Salad Tossers on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Anything you can think of, we're probably on there. Except Facebook, because we're not that old yet. And thank you for listening. Oh, wait, one last thing. Very important. Patreon.com/TheSaladTossers. Dan Toler has been releasing beautiful episodes on there. Billy, did you end up listening to that yet?
The beginning of it. I love Dan's voice.
I love Dan's voice as well. Dan Toler is an amazing creative. Go check out, I think his website's dantolerpodcast.com. Go check that out too. But Dan does an exclusive podcast that you can only get on our Patreon. Again, patreon.com/thesaladtossers. It's only $1 a month. And you can also get Montel's show. Like I said a few times, I'm taking him under my wing. He's a good fucking kid, man. He runs a good debate show. I would highly suggest listening to it. It's always very interesting. And then you also get our bonus episodes. We usually watch a movie and commentate on it so you can enjoy the movie with us.
I've done one in a while. Jesus.
I was telling Jock we got to do one soon. Yeah. But yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for donating. We've received a lot of donations in the last couple weeks. Thank you guys so much. And have a great night. Everybody, say goodbye.
Peace out, Craig.
Bye. Have a good one.
Good night, Craig.